What's going on, everybody? Welcome into the Lakers Outsiders podcast. I am Gary Kester. I am joined today by Hani Amadian. Hani, it's almost Thanksgiving. What's going on, man? Oh, that's right. Hani's busy tonight. He will not be on the podcast, but I can always rely on my good pal, Jacob Rude. Jacob, how's it going? Oh, yeah. Jacob's not here either. It's just me today, folks. Going to be kind of a weird night. Like I said, here by myself. Hani was busy. Jacob is probably still sulking that Duke got beat tonight. I don't feel sorry for him at all. But yeah, let's get a little weird. I'm going to be doing the pod by myself tonight, discussing the Lakers. I want to say hard-fought win, but I don't know if it was necessarily hard-fought. It was hard for them to win, apparently, but the Lakers get a win in Cleveland, 109-105, in LeBron's return to Cleveland to play his old team, the Cleveland Cavaliers. And man, it was a tough game. It was a tough game to watch. It was a tough game for the Lakers to win, apparently, and I'm going to dive into that here in a minute. But before I get started, the Lakers Outsiders podcast is always on YouTube, iTunes, and Podbean. So if you like the pod, you can always subscribe to the podcast on all three of those platforms. You can always find it also on LakersOutsiders.com. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram and like us on Facebook to get all of our content. And if you like the pod, and if you do go subscribe to the pod on those three platforms, especially on iTunes, leave us an iTunes review. We really, really appreciate those, and they help us out tremendously. So we really, really appreciate more iTunes reviews. We appreciate you for listening, but we love feedback on how to get better. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of feedback after this because this is kind of weird doing this by myself. But hey, let's get weird. Let's have a little fun. It's the day before Thanksgiving. Let's just do this. So as I mentioned, the Lakers get another road win at Cleveland. Far from impressive. To say the least, far from an impressive win, but it's a win nonetheless. It counts all the same. And the Lakers move to 10-7 on the season. They get a win in LeBron's return home. Obviously an emotional game for, you know, a number of different reasons. It's LeBron's first game back in Cleveland since he left for the second time. This one was a much different game than the first time he returned. Obviously, when he was a member of the Heat, there was a lot of animosity from his hometown and a lot of boos and a lot of signs, and you know, that showed a lot of displeasure with LeBron James. And tonight was the complete opposite. I think the Cavs franchise and the crowd there all did a fantastic job really showing appreciation for LeBron James. And as they should, the guy, you know, dragged the Cavaliers out of NBA purgatory basically single-handedly. I mean, when he got there, it was just a whole different ballgame for them. And they were, you know, consistently in the playoffs and competing for championships and finally got one in 2016 and one of the most, you know, amazing sports comebacks that we've ever seen in the 2016 NBA Finals over the Golden State Warriors. And so it was awesome to see LeBron get some recognition, and I really thought it was a nice touch by the Cavs, not only to really remember what he did for them on the court, but kind of shed some light. And really the tribute video that they showed during the first time out focused on what he's done off the court for that community in Cleveland. And I thought that was a really nice touch by the Cavs and their franchise, and it was really nice to see. And I think LeBron really appreciated that as well. But at the end of the day, he had a game to go play. He had a game to go win. You know, I found it very, very hard to believe going in that LeBron was going to allow the Lakers to leave that arena with a loss. I just kind of refused to believe it was going to happen. And for a little while there, especially late in the game, I started to believe that was what was going to happen. It was a very ugly game. The Lakers were very sloppy with the basketball, a lot of turnovers, and didn't force a lot of turnovers. The Cavaliers were turnover free in the first half. The first team in the NBA this season to go a half, I think is what they said, or maybe it was just the first half, but they went the first half with zero turnovers and the Lakers had nine. That was kind of the difference in the game early on. And it didn't get a whole lot better as the game kind of dragged on, but the Lakers did ramp up their efforts, especially in the last 5 minutes or so. Cleveland, with about 5 minutes left, went up 99-91. And since, or from that point, the last 4 minutes and 30 seconds, the Lakers outscored them 18-6 to win 109-105, like I said, to get to 10-7 on the season. Just some thoughts from tonight's game. First and foremost, LeBron James is really good at basketball. I mean, he carried the Lakers, especially in that second quarter. The Lakers were falling behind. I think they fell down by 9. I want maybe 11. I know it was 9 for sure. So, I mean, they were in, you know, some dangerous territory there early in the first half, in the second quarter. And he kind of brought him back and got him back within 3 points going into halftime. And then it was kind of back and forth a little bit until the Cavs put together a little run, created some separation, and then LeBron and the Lakers kind of said enough, and they basically stole this win. But there's a reason why the Cavaliers are 2-14 now, and I like to think that the Lakers are becoming a good team. Who knows if they are a good team? The consistency is kind of an issue. I think they kind of play to the level of their opponent, but hey, they're finding ways to win games. They were 2-5. They're 10-7 now. That's a hell of a turnaround in a very quick, you know, a quick period of time. So it's very, very nice to see that the Lakers are just finding ways to win games, and especially early in the season, going through this adjustment period with a lot of new faces, with Rajon Rondo out, you know, not having their backup point guard. I know a lot of people don't like him. I am probably a bigger Rondo fan than most people. You know, I don't think he's, you know, one of the best players on the team necessarily, but he is an important piece of the rotation. And I think his leadership out there and his basketball IQ really helps out a lot. So not having him and being able to get these wins as the season treks along is very important for this team, especially in the Western Conference, where, you know, I was kind of thinking about early in the game. These are the kind of games you don't want to lose in the, you know, being a Western Conference team, because we saw last year the difference from, you know, being third in the West to ninth was only a couple games. So you don't want to lose these games that you absolutely should win. And, you know, Cleveland, like I said, there's a reason they're 2-14. They're not a good team. They played hard tonight. I'll give them a lot of credit. Honestly, I thought they deserved to win this game tonight. But they, you know, just they kind of faltered down the stretch. They didn't execute. Jordan Clarkson played very, very well for the majority of this game, but down the stretch had to be taken out because he just kind of reverted back to, I think, the Jordan Clarkson that, you know, a lot of Laker fans are used to seeing. You know, the Cavs had some key contributors. Seti Osman, I always pronounce his name wrong, but he was really good tonight. He had some timely threes and kind of kept the Cavs in it there as they tried to make a late push. But Kentavious Caldwell-Pope knocked down some free throws, some clutch free throws, and kind of put the game away. But very frustrating game. Very, very frustrating game. And, you know, but hey, like I said, a win is a win. You know, good teams find ways to win them. Bad teams find ways to lose them. And the Lakers get it done. But like I said, a few thoughts from today's game. LeBron's obviously really good. He controlled that game. I mean, he was fantastic, especially in stretches, and just made plays when they really, really needed him. Second thought is Lonzo Ball. I thought this was very, very interesting. He was aggressive tonight. He was very, very aggressive tonight, and it kind of surprised me at times just how aggressive he was. You know, there was a stretch in the third quarter where he was really attacking the basket kind of relentlessly, and it was so refreshing to see, because that's what we want to see more often. You know, when you're struggling to shoot the ball from the outside, try and get something going to the basket. You know, Lonzo is a very, you know, he's a good athlete. You know, he's not an elite athlete, but he's a good athlete, especially at that point guard position. And, you know, I think he can utilize that a little more. And I think, you know, there was a play that he attacked the defense kind of before they were set, because he's a quick guard and a good athlete. And he had a surprising dunk and an and one. I think he missed the free throw, but those are the type of plays that I want to see Lonzo Ball consistently make. I want to see him engaged. I thought he did a pretty good job defensively for the most part. You know, he was in position for a lot of plays. And, you know, I was very happy with what Lonzo Ball did tonight. His final stat line for the game was 15 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists. He did have one steal. He shot 7 of 11 from the field. He hit one of his 2 threes. He was a plus 16 tonight. He was really good. LeBron kind of gets the spotlight, you know, when you look at his line, 32 points, 11 of 20 from the field, hit a couple of threes, 14 rebounds, 7 assists. He was phenomenal. JaVale McGee is kind of my third talking point for this. JaVale was a crucial down the stretch with his, you know, his rim protection. His defense was fantastic all game. He hit a really big bucket to put the Lakers up 2 with a little over a minute to play. And he just seemed to be in the right place at the right time a lot tonight. And he made all 6 of his shots. You know, granted, JaVale gets most of his shots around the basket, but, you know, they're not always just dunks and layups. He's, you know, some of these shots require some creativity and some touch. And, you know, he showed that tonight. And, you know, he was just fantastic. He had 3 block shots, but he altered a lot of different shots around the basket. And, you know, I was really, really pleased with how he played. The bench unit wasn't great. Josh Hart sounded like sprained an ankle, but he did come back in the game, so hopefully he's okay. Tyson Chandler kind of took a shot early in the game. I don't know if it was to his midsection or what was going on with that, but he was in some discomfort early in the game as well. Lance Stevenson was, I thought he was awful in the first half. The second half, he started to make some plays. He created some shots for other guys. He found Caldwell Pope in the corner for a timely 3. He hit Josh Hart trailing in transition, which was a very, very nice pass that created an easy bucket. Guys made plays here and there when they needed to. The defense kind of came and went. Offensively, I thought in the first half, the Lakers were kind of just going through the motions a little bit. And it was frustrating. There wasn't a whole lot of energy in the building. It seemed pretty dead, in all honesty. It seemed pretty dead. And, you know, it was surprising, I guess. You know, and I know, you know, that's kind of what you get with a team that's got 2 wins, 2-13 coming into the season. But I figure with LeBron returning, there was probably going to be a lot of Laker fans there. It was going to be a pretty electric crowd, you know, because of that return and so on and so forth. But it was pretty quiet for most of the night. And, you know, it kind of livened up a little bit in the second half when Cleveland looked like they were about to spoil LeBron's return home. But LeBron wasn't really having that. And, it was just an interesting game. It was a frustrating game. But the Lakers, you know, I guess an encouraging thing is – and Hani Amadian tweeted this out earlier, basically that it's encouraging that the Lakers are still good enough to kind of sleepwalk through 42 minutes of a game and still find a way to pull it out. You know, in the past few years, they haven't been remotely good enough, you know, to being on that level. So it's good to see that they're able to do that. You don't want to see it become a habit, because that's a terrible habit to have. Unless you're really, really good, you can get away with that more often. A team like the Warriors in the past few years obviously has probably done that a lot, where they just kind of ramp it up when they need to and they go get a win. But we're seeing it now. I mean, they're obviously hurt. Steph Curry is out and Draymond Green's out, but they've been kind of on a slide here lately. So it's, like I said, it's just not a habit you want to build. But luckily, the Lakers get the win and move to 10-7 on the year. They're right in the thick of things in the Western Conference standings. I mean, things are so bunched up out there. Some teams ahead of them lost tonight. The Blazers got crushed in Milwaukee. I think they lost 143-100. It was a 40-plus point loss. The Warriors and the Thunder are both ahead of the Lakers right now in the standings, and they are playing right now in the second part of that ESPN doubleheader. So one of them is going to lose, and the Lakers will be tied with them in the loss column. So everything's really, really kind of bunched up in the Western Conference. And, you know, the Lakers right now find themselves 2 games out of first place, but they also find themselves 2 games out of 13th in the West. So, you know, there's not a lot of margin for error in the Western Conference. So that's why, you know, getting these games like tonight are crucial. They're important. You want to just rack up those wins any way you can. You know, obviously you want to beat everybody, but if you can at least beat the teams you're supposed to beat, that can go a long way. You know, we've seen that in the past, teams getting in the playoffs simply from beating the teams that they should. So, like I said, frustrating game, but hey, you take wins however you can get them. And especially a game like that is a little funky, I guess, because LeBron, you know, it's kind of his homecoming game playing against Cleveland, and just different circumstances. Not a normal game, even though, you know, the Cavs are without their best player in Kevin Love, and they're a little, you know, they've got some injuries and things like that. But you play the team that's in front of you, and the Lakers played, you know, poorly for most of the game, but they're able to get it done. And that's all that matters. You're getting these wins. So, and another reason why that game was so important was the Lakers now come home. Up next, they have the kind of struggling Utah Jazz, who are sitting right now at, looks like, 8-10. They'll get the Jazz on Friday at home, but the Lakers are in kind of an important part of their schedule. You know, getting two out of these three wins at home, I think, was big for them, or excuse me, on the road, because they come home now for six out of the next seven at home. So I'm thinking if they're able to get like five out of these next seven with a heavy home schedule, I think that is big. That's big because that would put them, you know, at 15-9 with, you know, and then they'd go on the road for a little bit, but 15-9 is, you know, I think would be much better than I anticipated the team being. So if they can get to a mark like that and take care of business at home, their upcoming schedule, these, like I said, six out of the next seven at home, they play the Jazz on Friday, and then they play the Magic. Then they go to Denver to play the Nuggets, who have been kind of struggling, but that's another big game against a Western Conference opponent that's right in the thick of things. Then the Lakers come back home. They play the Pacers. They play the Mavericks. And then they follow that up with the Suns and then the Spurs. They play a home-and-home with the Spurs. So they play the Spurs in L.A., and then they go to the Spurs 2 days later. And the Lakers have had their problems with the Spurs. They should have beat them the first time around. I mean, honestly, probably could have easily beat them both times around. Kind of held leads late and let them get away. So hopefully they've kind of learned their lesson there. And then the Lakers kind of go on the road a little bit after that. So it's important to get these home wins, you know, rack up as many wins as possible, stay right in the, you know, in the playoff race in the West. I know it's early. There's a lot of games left, and that's why I typically don't overreact to wins and losses, but you want to stack these up as much as you can. And especially with the Lakers, you know, I'd like to think they're a team that's going to get better as the season goes along. Because, you know, they're undergoing so much roster turnover, and there's so many new faces, and, you know, not only just new faces, but new faces that are key pieces to what they're doing, right? LeBron James, Rajon Rondo, JaVale McGee, Lance Stevenson, like all these guys, you know, new faces, and, you know, you're still trying to kind of balance wins and development of your young players, and that's hard to do. So getting wins any way you can will go a long way for the Lakers, and you know, I know it makes Luke Walton's job security probably a little, or makes him feel a little safer. So I will be answering questions. So if you are listening to this live on YouTube, drop your questions in the live chat. I've got some questions to answer on Twitter. Doesn't have to be about the Lakers, LeBron, the game. Doesn't have to be about any of that. Obviously, it can if you want it to be. But it's Thanksgiving tomorrow. Let's talk, you know, food. Let's talk football, whatever. Send me some questions. Like I said, leave them in that group chat. I'm going to jump into some Twitter questions here in a second. But, you know, it feels weird to say good win because the Lakers were just not very good tonight. But, you know, like I said, a win is a win. You know, there's no style points in the NBA. You try and get them however you can. So, all righty, let's jump into some of these questions. I know they're going to be all over the place. So this is going to be interesting. So a lot of food questions, obviously, with Thanksgiving coming up. And why not? Let's get weird. So the first one is, what is the best way to prepare a potato? Personally, I mean, I'm pretty simple when it comes to it. I mean, potatoes have a lot of versatility. Shout out to my home state of Idaho for producing a lot of the potatoes. But my favorite thing with potatoes is simply just mashed potatoes with gravy. I'm looking forward. That's like honestly one of my favorite things about Thanksgiving is the mashed potatoes with gravy. So that's what I'm going to go with. Compare each Laker to a Thanksgiving dish. there's no way I'm going down the entire roster and comparing them to a Thanksgiving dish. LeBron to me would be the mashed potatoes and gravy, I guess. I guess Lonzo would be the turkey, I want to say, because turkey, when it's prepared right, can be really, really good, but sometimes it can be very, very dry and put you to sleep. So no offense to Lonzo, but I feel like that's a somewhat accurate comparison. Oh man, this is actually tough. I'll try and do a couple more, but I want to say Kyle Kuzma is the stuffing. Just because, I don't know, the stuffing's good and it's exciting. One of the more exciting dishes, I guess. I don't know. That's hard. I'm trying to think of one for Ingram, but I'm not sure, because I feel like a lot of people would say some of the dishes that I may not like. And this year, Ingram's kind of been hit and miss. So maybe he's the turkey. I don't know. They're all a bunch of turkeys. So compare each member of the Lakers outsiders to the Thanksgiving dish. I'm only going to do one. And since, I mean, Jacob's a Duke fan, so I'm not going to give him any kind of compliments. But Hani Ahmadian, mashed potatoes and gravy, my man. what holiday do you want to say F that S to? Oh, Columbus Day. It got to be Columbus Day. I mean, I don't even know why that's really a holiday. I mean, when you kind of think about it, I don't know why it's necessarily celebrated, but at the same time, I don't know why a lot of people get that day off and I don't. So screw that. Like, get Columbus Day out of here. Which member of the Lakers are you most thankful for? It's got to be LeBron. I mean, I could try and think of something stupid and funny to say, but honestly, it's late. It's been a long day. The Lakers put me through hell for 3.5 quarters tweeting that game. And yeah, it's got to be LeBron, the mashed potatoes and gravy of the Lakers. Let's see. Next up, are you going to pull out your Hezzy pull-up Jimbo this Thanksgiving? I'm not hesitating at all. I see an entire table full of food and there's football on, and I'm just going all in. You know, there's no Hezzy pull-up Jimbo with that. I mean, that's a straight line drive to the bucket. That's all that is. I don't really know that there's any other way to do it on Thanksgiving, in all honesty. So, which member of Lakers outsiders are you most thankful for? Honey, I already told you, man. Mashed potatoes and gravy. Doesn't get any better than that. All right, let's look, see if we got any other questions on Twitter. I'm not seeing any. If I'm missing it, I apologize. Oh, I actually got one question that we're going to address on the weekly pod. I actually got the other day, and let me pull it up just to make sure I don't say it right. But this, I thought this was a good question. And the question based on one of our comments that the Lakers have LeBron, and he's probably no longer in his prime. He's kind of on that downhill slide of his prime, but he's still the best player in the world. Right. And so the question was, how many athletes have there been that are no longer in their prime yet are still the best player in the world? That's a really, really interesting question to me, because I mean, I'm 26 years old. So like, my sports watching career isn't that long from what I can, you know, vividly remember. I don't really know. I mean, LeBron is obviously, you know, one that's going now. I'm trying to think. I mean, maybe you could say like Tom Brady. But I'm trying to think. I mean, nothing's coming to my mind off the top of my head besides, I guess, those two. Maybe Michael Jordan was. I was super young when Jordan was kind of winning his championships. I mean, I was born in 92. So, I'm honestly not sure. I'd have to kind of look into that one. But that's a really good question. And, hey, if you got an answer, leave it in the comments. And we'll definitely bring that up on our next weekly pod, which is going to include more Lakers trivia of Hani trying to guess where certain Lakers went to college because, man, I didn't think anybody could be that bad at it. But, honey, you got work to do, bud. All right. So a couple of comments and questions in the YouTube live chat that I'll get to before kind of getting out of here. Not going to be an overly long pod today because I'm by myself. It's a little kind of a little funky not having anybody to chat with here. But just some comments. Just said, what's going on? Terrell Gates. So what's going on, fellas? Another win tonight. It's been a good stretch. Has been a very good stretch for the Lakers. They were 2-5 and now they're 10-7. So what is that? 8-2 in the last 10. I hope my math is right. If not, that's really embarrassing. But very good stretch for the Lakers. They've been playing some good ball, playing to the level of their competition is a good and bad thing, you know, because they seem to hang with the really good teams and the bad teams they should beat. You know, they make things a little harder than they need to, like they did tonight. And yeah, that's not good. But hey, if you're, you know, competitive and you're in these games and you avoid games like the Magic game where you can just get blown out, that's I think you can live with that. If you're in a position to try and go win the game in the fourth quarter, sometimes that's all you can ask for. So interesting question here. Thoughts on Isaac Bonga from what we have seen with the South Bay Lakers. Bonga is really, really interesting. I remember when the Lakers drafted him, I didn't know a ton about him. You know, those overseas prospects are kind of tough to get a lot of film on, get a lot of intel on. You know, the accessibility is just not the same, you know, for the college players here, you know, in the United States. And Bonga was a guy that as soon as I started watching his tape, I was intrigued. I was intrigued. He was, you know, 18 years old, very, very young. And I mean, he's essentially a 6'8", 6'9" point guard. You know, he had some handles and, you know, good athletic ability, good physical tools, and, you know, really interesting prospect, very interesting prospect. And I think I've been very, very pleasantly surprised with his play with the South Bay Lakers and what he can do. His shot, his 3-point shot, especially, is coming around. He's hitting jumpers. And granted, you know, I always take it with a grain of salt because it is the G League. The G League and the NBA, there's a massive gap, especially defensively. You know, you'll see a lot of guys that can put up big numbers in the G League that come into the NBA and can't come even close to that. So, you know, you take it with a grain of salt, but Bonga's a guy that I think just turned 19 recently. He's very, very young, but a lot of physical tools, you know, with his you know, his frame, you know, his height, his length, athletic ability, all that kind of stuff. There's a lot. I mean, there's a good foundation to build upon. And I think he's shown a lot with his time with the South Bay Lakers. And he's definitely somebody to keep an eye on. You know, I think maybe in a couple of years he could be, you know, he could be an important part of the rotation for the Lakers. So that'd be nice. It'd be nice to get, you know, another good, a solid young player on the team, and, you know, kind of a cost controlled contract, and, you know, all those kind of perks that you have of having good young players. So Bonga has been very, very impressive, and I'm very excited to see his development moving forward, because I think there's a lot to work with. Opinions on candied yams, good, bad, or great? I'm like the worst person to ask this, probably, just because I'm honestly not a big fan of yams. I don't like hate them, but I don't know. There's just something about them to me. Maybe it's the texture or whatever, that I'm just not a huge fan of them. So I'm not a great person to ask on that, I guess. For me, I don't want to say they're bad. It's just yams in general, I guess, are just, I don't know. They're okay for me, but not one of my favorite Thanksgiving dishes. I'll just say that, I guess. But all right, I think that is it in terms of questions. I'll kind of go on here for a little bit and see if any more pile in. But this was interesting, talking to myself, talking to you fine people. I appreciate those of you that sent me questions and listened in. And yeah. Interesting night for the Lakers. Started out very, very emotional and then kind of dull and got nervous, and they get a win, and it's on to the next one. The Lakers will be off tomorrow, as will all NBA teams. They kind of take a step to the side and let the NFL have their day on Thanksgiving Day, and then the Lakers will be back in action on Friday against the Jazz, which will be an interesting game to watch because, like I said, the Jazz are kind of struggling right now. It's a team that the Lakers struggled with last year. Of course, the Jazz looked a lot better last year than they have so far this season. But I don't typically like playing against teams that are struggling because it kind of means they're due for a really good performance. And the Jazz are just an interesting matchup for the Lakers. And this is the first time we've seen them, you know, with LeBron. So that'll be something that's kind of fun to watch. And, you know, it's good to, if the Lakers can rack up some wins against Western Conference opponents, you never know when those tiebreakers might come into play, whether it's head-to-head or conference record or whatever. So it'll be an interesting game. Plus, there's always kind of the trap for these teams that when they go on a road trip, usually it's a longer road trip, but when you come back, it just seems to be that first home game, teams kind of come out a little flat. And I don't know if that'll happen to the Lakers, you know, coming back from just a three-game road trip, not a very long road trip. But it is a lot of travel. You know, they went from L.A. down to Orlando and then, you know, quick flight over to or a quick trip over to Miami. And then they went up to Cleveland and then they'll fly all the way back to L.A. So it'll be interesting to see if they come out or what kind of intensity level they come out with, what kind of effort and energy, how much energy they have and all that stuff. So one more last question that we got, was this Lonzo Ball's best game this season? He needs to drive to the rim more often. You know, I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say just off the top of my head because, you know, the Lakers have played 17 games. You know, he's had moments where he's looked really good and he's had moments where he is almost invisible out there. I want to say it was his most encouraging game because I think, you know, I always say this with Lonzo that even when he's not scoring, he can impact the game in so many different ways. And it was nice to see him do that. It was nice to see him do that. But then he kind of took it upon himself to be aggressive and try and go score the basketball and really attack. And I think it kind of caught the Cavs off guard at first. You know, I think it caught everybody off guard that Lonzo's, you know, aggressively attacking the basket. He threw down a dunk. Had an and one or a foul, you know, shot made plus a foul, even though he missed the free throw. And yeah, I just want to see that more often. I think it was the most encouraging game that we've seen from Lonzo Ball in probably quite a while. You know, even knocked down a three. That was nice to see, you know, avoiding those games where, you know, you go 0 for 4, 0 for 5 from three would be nice. And Lonzo splits this year. Last year it was the complete opposite, but this year I think he's been very good shooting threes at home, and on the road it's been a struggle. So it's nice to see him at least get one out of two today. And just see him attack the basket. That's just great to see. It's great to see, and hopefully we see it more often because, like I said earlier in the pod, Lonzo's, you know, he's got athletic ability. He's got good size at his position. He's, you know, he's quick. You know, he can do a lot of things. He can do a lot of things. It's all about, I think, between the ears with him, just staying mentally engaged and just going after it, play hard. So, yes, it is the first time that the Lakers are three games over 500 since 2013. I believe it was the 2012-2013 season, which was the Dwight Howard and Steve Nash nightmare. So hopefully this season is not as painful and frustrating as that one was. I think I've already had more fun this season than all of that season, besides Kobe playing at an incredibly high level that year. Of course, that was the year that of the torn Achilles and that he went down. And that was kind of the last that we saw of the real Kobe Bryant until his very, very last game. So it's been fun so far, though. I mean, it was frustrating at the start, but the Lakers had kind of a tough start to their schedule. And now that they're playing some of these lesser teams, or I want to say more average teams, you know, the wins are starting to pile up. And that's fantastic to see. Hopefully this team can really get it rolling now with a pretty heavy dose of home games coming up here in these next seven. And just keep climbing the standings. Keep climbing the standings in the West and put yourself in a good position when the springtime rolls around. And, you know, try and make some noise when April rolls around. So, all right. Well, this was fun. A little weird talking to myself, like I said. But as I mentioned at the start of the podcast, You can subscribe to the pod on YouTube, iTunes, and Podbean. And if you subscribe to us on iTunes, please leave us a review, leave us some feedback, give us a rating on what you like, what you don't like, what you'd like to see us do better. We are always open to feedback on how we can improve the pod and these YouTube live streams and just everything with the site. So always appreciate that feedback. Let us know in an iTunes review. As I've mentioned on earlier podcasts, we are also taking suggestions on what the punishment is going to be for the member of Lakers Outsiders with the worst record tweeting games this season, which it's pretty much determined it's going to be Dylan because the Lakers are 0-2 when Dylan tweets the games. And he was at the game tonight, so shout out to Dylan for being at the game. And, I mean, if they lost, you know, Dylan was probably going to be fired. Not really, but seriously, Dylan, you might just have to keep your distance from this team because you seem to be bad luck. But yeah, so you can subscribe to us on those platforms. And like I said earlier, you can find all of our content on LakersOutsiders.com. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, like us on Facebook, all that fun stuff. One last question. What do I think of the rumor about Bradley Beal to the Lakers? Would I like that move? Yes and no. I think Bradley Beal is a very good player. I think he's a very good player, and he would be really a perfect fit next to LeBron James. The issue is the Lakers have put together a plan that includes saving max cap space. They did it this past offseason, helped them get LeBron James. Part of, I think, the pitch to LeBron was, hey, we have all this extra cap space this season to try and find somebody. And if not, you can punt it until next offseason and try and get somebody then. And guys like Kevin Durant, Kawhi Leonard, Klay Thompson, you know, those Jimmy Butler, those are guys that could very well be on the market as free agents. And having that money to give yourself a chance to go get another star to put with LeBron James, I think, is important. You know, they've set this up for a while now. You got to stick to that. And the thing with Beal too is it gets kind of tricky. The Lakers would probably have to still wait a few more weeks to really match his money because new contracts can't be traded until December 15th. So a guy like Kentavious Caldwell-Pope would be a contract to help them make the money work, or Rajon Rondo. But at the same time, if you're the Wizards, I don't see why you'd still want to get rid of Bradley Beal just to get rid of him. He's a good player. You know, he's not very old. You know, I've seen some people suggest kind of low ball offers for Bradley Beal. And I still don't think the Wizards would take it. I still think they would only trade him if they're getting a lot of value in return. So, but that's a good question. We'll talk about that a little bit on the weekly pod, because I know Jacob kind of feels a little differently about it. So we'll argue like North Carolina fan and a Duke fan would. Plus, I mean, he's probably just a little bitter because Duke got beat tonight. That's all I'm saying. But all right, now I'm really signing off. Again, thank you guys so much for tuning in. We really appreciate it. Always appreciate the feedback, the views, all that stuff. We appreciate you guys for the support. We will most likely be back Friday night. After the Jazz game, hopefully talking about another Laker win. But until then, have a great Thanksgiving, everybody. Enjoy some time with your family, your friends, whoever you celebrate with. Watch some football if that's your thing. It's definitely my thing. Enjoy the holiday. Hope you guys enjoy a long weekend. And, enjoy it. Have fun. Be safe. And, until next time, this is Gary Kester. Signing off and wishing you guys a happy Thanksgiving.